Thank you for joining us for Sound Reasoning with Christian apologist and minister Perseus Poku of Sound Reasoning Ministries. It's our prayer that today's program will educate, train, and empower you to defend your Christian faith with confidence. Perseus has his bachelor's in history and a master's degree in apologetics. We hope you enjoy this time of equipping so that you can answer questions to defend your Christian faith effectively. Now here's Perseus Poku on Sound Reasoning.
Welcome to Sound Reasoning. I'm your host, Perseus Poku. We'll continue our discussion on the attributes of God. We've begun the series a few weeks ago. And for those of you that missed the previous episode on God's goodness, you can go to our podcast online through our website and listen to the episode on God's goodness. And today we're going to wrap up the attributes as it relates to God's justice. Then we'll transition to God's mercy. So as it relates to God's justice, when we look at God's justice, what we're saying is that God is righteous in his dealings with humanity. He is just. He is fair. He is divinely equitable, not in a sense that we may look at equity, but in a sense that however God decides to act, however he decides to do it, when God is adjudicating, whatever he does is based out of pure love and righteousness. It's not based on trivialness. It's not based on picking one side over another. God, in his eternal nowness, decides where to go, what to do, who to do it with, and how to do it. So when God is dealing with a situation, he's dealing with the nowness in relationship to the future. Everything occurs in his decision is based on his eternality. And we'll deal with that as part of his attributes. But God deals with that from today as well as tomorrow. So when God adjudicates, when God is not deciding, because God has no potentiality, but when God is dealing with us as humans, whatever he says, whatever he does, is just. We may not appreciate it as just. We may not see it as fair. We may not see it as righteous. But trust me, if we have faith in the God that we say we do, we must remember that everything he does is for our benefit. So when we say God is just, we're saying God is righteously fair. When we think about it, even with the story of Joseph, one may say, well, why would a fair God or a just God allow Joseph to be treated that way by his own brothers, even though he essentially didn't have any ill will towards them? Right? We can ask those type of questions as we look at different Bible stories. And we can even potentially say that about ourselves. Is this fair? Now, as we try to unpack that question as it relates to God, we can totally see that God is always equitable. God is always fair. We can't always say that about human beings, even people that we trust. We can't say that about them. Sometimes people that adjudicate base their findings or their resolutions based on how they're feeling that day. Sometimes people base it on the evidence that they have at hand. But the difference with God is there's no evidence that he's not privy to. There's no evidence that we can come up with that God doesn't already know about. God, when he deals with us, has all the information he needs in his eternal nowness. And that, to me, is praiseworthy. When we go to God, he's not looking for exculpatory evidence. He's not looking for additional evidence. God already knows everything he needs to know when he is dealing with us. When we pray to God, same thing. God is just. And when he deals with our prayers, God is dealing with us now and he's dealing with us in the future. There are things that you're asking for that you will not get because he is a just God. And because God is just and he's love and all that is wrapped up into his eternality, when God deals with us, he's dealing with us from a loving perspective. And because he loves us, sometimes he has to withhold some things from us. And even though you're praying about it and you really want it, it's possible that God is saying, not now. And then it's possible that God is saying no. And it's possible God is saying, I appreciate your faith and I see your faith. And my daughter, my son, here you go. So it's very important that when we're dealing with God, we realize that he's totally just, that he adjudicates fairly in his nature, according to his nature. When we look at 2 Thessalonians 1 and 6, we see that Paul writes, God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you. So sometimes we're going up against someone or something, and we want to take matters into our own hands. We want to handle the situation the way we used to handle it, the way that we used to think about those situations. And if we are Christians, there are some things we just can't do anymore. We can't do unto others before they do unto us. That's some people's motto. Well, let me get them before they get me, or let me get them back for what they did to me. And because God is just, because we believe that, the best thing we can do as believers is to trust him that God is the avenger that he said he is. He saw everything that happened. He saw every vow that was made in secret. He saw every intention. He saw every motive. He saw every preparation. He saw everything those people did to try to get you to behave in a way that will cause you to sin. He sees it all. So Paul is saying God is just. It's a reminder. And he, meaning God, will pay back trouble to those who trouble you. And the great thing is God, he decides how he's going to pay them back. We don't have to give him suggestions. God, because of his justness, God will decide how he's going to deal with those individuals. And in reality, if we're going to be honest, sometimes we've been on the other side where we've caused problems for other people. Perhaps you're saying, well, I've never caused anybody any problems. Well, as a child, did you cause your parents any headaches? Did you do things that violated the parental rules? Perhaps you didn't mean to, perhaps you did, but you did something to transgress against them. But God is just. God could have dealt with us when we violated other people, when we did things to others that he's not pleased of. God could have dealt with us harshly. So this is why it's important that we don't rejoice when we're dealing with other people being punished by God. It's very important that we never take pride. We never take joy in other people's demise. It's not a good place to be, because we could be on that other side. So whenever God chastises someone, whenever God is dealing with whether it's an individual, whether it's a civilization, whatever God is doing, we should never rejoice in their punishment. The only time we should rejoice is when people turn their face back to God. The scriptures tell us that heaven rejoices when people turn back to God. So that's the type of desire that we need to have. So when you're going through things, when you feel as though you're being attacked, when you feel as though something is unfair, when you feel as though something is unjust, you turn it over to God. He knows how to adjudicate. Then Colossians 3:25, it says, anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism. This is why I love everything about God, is that he shows no partiality. He shows no partiality. When God deals with us, he's dealing with us based on his standards, based on his unchanging standards, based on his loving standards, based on his spiritual standards. So when God is dealing with us, it's not based on him being bribed. It's not based on him being influenced by humanity. God is not influenced by humanity. God is not, can't be paid off. God can't be persuaded to do anything he doesn't want to do. So Colossians 3:25 says, anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And God is righteous, and he has a righteousness standard. God is just. So the next attributes we want to deal with at this point is God's mercy. So you can look at it as God being merciful, God's mercy. And by God's mercy, we're saying God's mercy is rooted in his divine nature. God has shown us compassion by having pity on us. I'm going to say it again. When we're talking about God's mercy, we're saying that God has shown us compassion by having pity on us. And that's what God does for us. And that's what God has been doing for us. He's been merciful. He didn't give us what we deserve. That's what mercy is. When God withholds punishment for the punishment that we utterly deserve. So Hebrews 4:16, as an example. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And I do understand that in some churches, there are some people who behave like they're super Christians. They believe that they haven't committed any transgression since they accepted Christ. They believe that they haven't said anything offensive. They believe that they haven't thought anything immoral. They believe that they haven't done anything that they need to ask to God to forgive them for. And that's not true. That is totally not true. Even though we are Christians, at times we have thoughts that crosses our mind that we shouldn't have. At times we think things that we shouldn't think. And this is all part of the spiritual battle. It doesn't mean that you're not a Christian. Sometimes we say things the wrong way that we shouldn't have said. And that occurs. We need to go to God to forgive us. And if God was to treat us in a harsh way, then every transgression we commit, he would basically just send down his judgment on us, and we wouldn't see the light of day, because in his righteousness, in his justness, God has the total right to do what he wants with us. We are under grace, not under the law. Under the law, God reacted to Israel in a way that many seemed as harsh. And God could have, in the New Testament, treat us in the same way. But even in the New Testament, don't forget, in Acts, the fifth chapter, the story of Ananias and Sapphira, we learned that God dealt with them harshly because of what they did, because of the sin that was in their life. So I am thankful that God doesn't give me what I deserve all the time. He has mercy on us. And that mercy is not designed to be taken for granted. I can remember the scripture saying, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Heaven forbid. This means that because God is merciful, we shouldn't try to take advantage of this mercy. That mercy is intended for you to pick yourself up, realize that you've done wrong, repent, and turn away from those things that you're doing that's wrong. And that time that you have is designed for you to do better. It's designed for you not to commit the same transgression again. It's designed for you to allow God to clean you up so you may start your journey afresh, anew. For he's cast your sin as far from the east as he has from the west. So remember not to take God's mercy for granted. Psalms 86 and 5 says, "You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you." And when we are in a situation, we know we've messed up, and God hasn't called us home, it's an indication that you've experienced God's mercy. So he is a forgiving God. But again, do not take his forgiveness for granted. Do not assume that God is forgiving you, that he is condoning the things that you're doing. Luke 6:36 says, "Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Luke 6:36. God is merciful. God withhold his hands of judgment at times to get us back on the right track, to get our attention. Sometimes it may seem that God is harsh. Sometimes it may seem that God is not as harsh, but that's his prerogative. God deals with us the way he wants to deal with us. But just know, the other side of the spectrum says there are Christians who feel as though they've done something so egregious that God will never forgive them. And that's not true. God is a forgiving God. He's a merciful God. But God doesn't want you to take his mercy for granted. He gives us another chance, right? He's a God of another chance. But in us getting another chance, let's use that time wisely. Let's use it for kingdom building. Let's use it to edify God's church. Let's use it to glorify his holy name. Let's use it to redeem the times. Let's use the time that God has given us to participate in his ministry of reconciliation. And this is a full-time job. Christians do not take time off. We are on call 24/7, meaning when we're dealing with our family, we ought to be glorifying God. When we are dealing with individuals in our business and board meetings, we ought to glorify God. When we are on the golf links, we ought to be glorifying God. When we are on our shopping spree, we ought to glorify God. When we are at the parent-teacher conferences, we ought to glorify God. When we are dealing with our children, we ought to show them God's glory. So in all that we do, we need to make sure that our time is being used wisely. Why? Because we are grateful to God for his mercy, for not giving up on us, for giving us another chance, for not giving us what we deserve. We deserve death. We deserve the penalty for sin. We deserve to be totally and utterly destroyed. But God, through Jesus Christ, saved us, redeemed us, and put us in a right fellowship with him. And that's part of his mercy. He didn't allow us to go to hell like we deserve, but God saved us. God, through his mercy, put us back in a right fellowship with him. So we look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. And 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." So if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins. So again, God is merciful. He's waiting on some of us to repent of our ways. He's waiting on some of us to say that we've messed up, that it was our fault, that we committed the transgression. He's waiting on you. And the thing about not confessing your sins, it does build up a wall between you and God. It does build up a wall between us and God when we refuse to say to God that we are sorry. When we refuse to repent of our ways, iniquity comes into play. Iniquity, in a sense, is unconfessed sin. So God's mercy, again, should not be toiled with. God's mercy should not be taken for granted. God is giving us another chance every time we wake up in the morning. God is giving you another chance. So let's use it wisely. God is a merciful God. And I'm glad that when I mess up, he's merciful enough to restore me to where I need to be. I'm so thankful for that. And all through the scriptures, we see how God restores people because he's merciful. When we look at the Peter narrative where Jesus prophesied that Peter would deny him. And then the time came, Peter did deny Christ. Peter started cursing. And then eventually Peter came to himself and Peter was welcome back to his position. God didn't give up on him. God saw him as the small rock. God still saw him at the as a small stone. God still saw him as the one that he was going to start the church with. So just because you've messed up doesn't mean that God has given up on you. As long as you wake up each day, that's an indication he has not given up on you. But it's also a warning sign that you should not take God's grace for granted. Don't take God's grace for granted. You don't want to start that journey of thinking that God is condoning our bad behavior, that God is enabling us to keep doing wrong. We don't want to start thinking that way, because once we start going down that path of taking God's mercy for granted, then that's where the devil gets involved. And the devil will do his best to keep you from experiencing God the way that you need to experience him. So make sure that when we're dealing with God's mercy, we are never, ever believing that we can do what we want to do and God is just going to rubber stamp it, or God is going to look the other way and say that it's okay. The last scripture for this particular attribute dealing with God's justice is that God's mercy, rather. 1 Peter 1:3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And I'm so thankful that Jesus took our place, because there's no way we could have dealt with the amount of punishment that Christ had to endure. Our time has come to a close, and we will continue with the next attribute on the next episode. And again, we thank you for your prayers. For those that would like to support this radio ministry, please go online, srministries.org. Or you can make your donation out to SRM, P.O. Box 582-306, Elk Grove, California, 95758. And remember to always do for the truth what others do for a lie.
Thanks for listening to Sound Reasoning with apologist and minister Perseus Poku from Sound Reasoning Ministries. It's our prayer that today's lesson has equipped you to share and defend your Christian faith with boldness. Sound Reasoning Ministries offers training in apologetics, biblical studies, and systematic theology. Join in on discussions on Facebook at Sound Reasoning Ministries. For more information about the ministry, to send an email, ask a question, or support the ministry, visit online at srministries.org. That's srministries.org. Listen again next week at this same time. And remember, Titus 1:9 says, hold firm to the trustworthy message as has been taught, so that you can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. Sound Reasoning Ministries, srministries.org.
Hi, friend. Are you stressed? Maybe even worried about so many needs around you that you've forgotten you are worth taking care of too? Well, I'm Bonnie Gray, the host of Breathe, the Stressless Podcast. I want to invite you to join me as I share practical tips based on science, inspired by God's Word, to help you spark joy and restore God's peace and love to your soul. Subscribe now and go to lifeaudio.com.